Hi guys, my name is Rupen Paul and you're listening to the Right Room Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in and thank you so much for checking out the previous episodes. And if you haven't, please do. A lot of cool episodes with a lot of cool guests have been recorded. Unfortunately, none of those cool guests could be here and you're stuck with me in this solo podcast that I want to put out. And so I don't miss a week and so that you guys still can have something to listen to. And hopefully you put up a good show for today. But I have a bunch of things that I want to talk about. Talking about what's been happening this year and giving you a few updates on what we can expect next year. So what had happened this year was chaotic, right? And I don't want to be one of those people, you know, just brooding about how this year was just shitty. Because as much as how this year was shitty, it was also great. Because I think, you know, once you face like the worst things in your life, right? Like, what are the worst things that can happen? I remember, like, the first time something really horrible happened in my life, right? It was probably 17 years, I guess. Like, my mom got diagnosed with cancer. And that, in a way, was a very liberating moment because it'd be like, oh, we survived that as a family. And that makes you stronger and also makes you understand, right, rather, how small your life is and how there's a scheme of things that is way bigger than you. And I think that's what this entire year in some way has done. This entire year, all of us risked everything. We kind of lost all our sources of income to a large extent. Many of us, you know, went through financial hardships. I know a couple of people who went through financial hardships. And many of us went through certain other problems of being lonely, being mentally just in the worst state possible because we're not even going out, don't have any distractions, nothing to make us happy for some time because we're all we can see is just our homes. But we beat all of that and we're still here today listening to it, which is pretty kick-ass. And I think the start of this podcast, I was listening to something, right? And someone, I think it was, I guess, an MMA trainer who told this on the podcast. He said, like, you know, all of us have fighting in our DNA because all our parents and forefathers were really violent men and women. They all fought wars, they scrapped, they just brawled. And because of all of their fighting, we are here. And I think it's similar to us. So we are not really weak. And if you actually see what the human body is capable of, it's fucking incredible, right? Because even that podcast episode that I did with Dominic Franks, I don't know if you've checked it out, he did a cycle trip from Bangalore to New Delhi. You know, anyone can just do anything. He went on a cycle trip and not on a crazy cycle. It was just like a very normal common man cycle with no gears, no special shock absorbers, right? It was just an ordinary cycle and he managed to pull that trip off. And he did that. And he was just saying that the human body is capable of doing so much more. We are capable of taking so much more stress, so much of pain. And I think this pandemic has just proved how resilient and tough as we are. Is tough as even a word? I think tough is a word. So that's pretty cool how we endured so much of shit. And I think I personally, the biggest achievement that I've had is I looked for a job by myself and found a really good job. Now that is quite something for me because every other case, like someone has been there handing a job to me. Like when I was in my, by this I don't mean anything like family or friends, but like when I was in my first job, I got that job because I was in college and my college did the hard work of getting that job to my company, sat through that placement, got the job. My second job, it was through a friend. So I asked my friend, like, hey, could you put me in touch with another friend? Got the job, right? And of course, the job was not really the best of jobs. And I had to eventually leave that job right before this lockdown. But this job, which I got after 3 months, I believe, March, April, and May of not having a job. I got this job in June. It's the first job that I've really worked hard for. And I think this is a good, you know, memory to look back on. I'm sure later in hindsight it'll be really good because there were times when my parents were saying, you know what, I'll just make one call to this uncle and he's going to get you a good job. And I said, no, I don't want to work under that person because the thing is he'll owe me a favor. And I don't want to act in my job, you know, in such a subdued position because, you know, I owe someone a favor because they were kind enough to let me work. No, I want to get this on my own. And it's not like I wasted my life and I have like shit work experience, right? I do have some sort of an experience and I do have some sort of skills that I've developed over a period of, you know, how many ever years, which is 6 years ever since I started doing stand-up. So I wanted to get it on my own and I managed to. But, you know, the chances of that happening are almost improbable. Now, bear in mind, I didn't want to work in IT. Now, you work in IT, God bless you. Pays the bills. If you're happy with your job, if you're happy with some part of IT that really satisfies you, then good for you. I just didn't like it. It's been my experience that IT has not been great ever since my post-graduation. IT was like the best thing that I wanted to do. When I was in undergrad, I really like computer science. I really like electronics. I really like, you know, just getting in the entire tech space. And then I said I should do my master's. And as soon as I did my master's, I hated it. It was for some reason just off. Everything that was about that course, about like the motive of that course and what that future of that course, you know, held for me, just seemed very unappealing, unappealing and very boring. So I decided to walk away from IT, unfortunately, I just couldn't just leave because, you know, my dad had paid the fee and I didn't want to do him injustice. I didn't want to break his heart. And my mom also, in a very strange way, she's very much for the idea of finishing things and, you know, doing things completely. And she's actually been like a crazy fighter her entire life, even though she seems like now, you know, you stay with your parents. They're your parents all your life. You don't look at them in a different way, right? But when you step back and you're actually explaining your parents to someone else, then you'll be like, oh, my parents are pretty cool, actually. And my mom actually encouraged me to just finish it. Even if it's hard, she said, you can finish it and then see what you have to do, which I think is a great philosophy, right? In just in general things. So because like my mom, for example, she had like when she was beating cancer, she had to undergo a bunch of chemotherapies and radiations and she hated it and she said, I don't want to do it. But when her turn came the next morning, she would just say, let's go and do it. Because she knew that, you know, eventually it would put her in a better place. And it's been 10 years since she's kicked cancer in the ass and she's healthy and happy and with us. So she encouraged me to actually finish it. And I finished it, got an IT job, didn't like that job, got another job, didn't like that job too. And I realized I'm not going to make the same mistake again. Now I have to, you know, face that. Me not working in IT and me getting a job that is different, making use of my skills as a speaker, writer, podcaster, content creator, comedian, if those skills are needed. So now we just keep searching. So I kept searching for every single job that I could get. So where do you start this entire process when you're in a lockdown, when most companies are shutting down, when most people in IT are losing their jobs? How do you start searching for a job? So I just went to, you know, LinkedIn, created a profile. I spoke to a couple of people who knew like how to like write a good profile. I said like, what's wrong with my profile? Criticize it. Tell me what's wrong so I can make it better. Started there, created a bunch of different profiles for a bunch of different job positions. And that's all I would do. I would apply to every single company that I could. And some companies, the process of just applying is so difficult. And I don't know why companies make it so difficult for candidates to apply to their job positions. You had to go through one website, then you fill in all the details, and that information redirects you to another website where you have to fill in that same goddamn information from the previous website and just take it from the previous people. They already asked for it, you idiot. So now you had to do all of that. And then eventually, after 3 months of almost nothing happening, I eventually got something. And it was a very good company, which I'm still working for, working on their content and working as a podcaster and a video content creator. I couldn't have asked for a better position, guys. This didn't happen through me. This, I think, really it just happened because I really believe in God, right? I really feel like, you know, God made this happen because there was no chance that I could have got this. Because even in terms of, you know, my experience, I do not have that much of experience as a content creator. I don't have that much of experience as a writer. I have written for 2 clients, right? And the rest of the writing I've done was just that blogs, which I did as a personal project for me. So this shouldn't have happened. But this is a company that reached out to me saying, hey, we really appreciate your concern and we'd like to get on a call with you. Got on a call with them. And you know, when you get a job, you have a really good feeling that something good is going to happen. And eventually that's exactly what I got that feeling a couple of other times before and only to have those jobs taken away. This time they got back and they said like, we're really happy with your profile and with the content that you've created, that the stuff that you're doing, podcasts and we, like, you know, worked on videos before. So we're really happy. And they eventually got me in. And even the money that I asked for was more than what I was going to ask for if I was going to work in an IT job. That was going to be my last option. Like if not everything failed, I was just going to work in IT. And even if the job was shitty, I was still going to try and do my best. But luckily that didn't happen. The worst didn't come to pass. And this job happened. I think this has really taught me something that, you know, in this, even those 3 months were kind of torturous. Because the thing is, when you don't have a job, you don't have money, you're kind of paralyzed to do other things because you feel guilty. You feel like you shouldn't be doing this. You feel like you shouldn't be deserving of any free time. So it's just a constant treadmill. Like even if you can't, like, of course you can't watch anything on TV, everyone says, right? Like, you know, you have this free time, just watch whatever you want on Netflix, on TV, YouTube, on podcasts. There's so many great books. Yeah, but that's not what you should be doing. And if you don't have a job right now, you shouldn't really feel comfortable with the fact that you're watching, like, you know, Netflix for like some 8 hours every day or reading some book. Because come on, there are some responsibilities that you also have to take. And if you don't feel the pinch of those responsibilities, then I guess you're just not aware of how, you know, how difficult life is. Because at some point, it's going to get difficult. I remember, you know, even when I was, even earlier on in school and college, when you actually don't put in your effort in studying, right, especially if it's a really difficult exam, you're overwhelmed with anxiety before writing the exam. You're like, oh my God, I'm going to do so badly. And I think you kind of prepare just to avoid that anxiety at the end. And yeah, that I think in some sort of way, I'm really happy that, you know, I didn't get this job through a recommendation or through someone feeling bad for me, but I got this with just my own merit during one of the most difficult times that, you know, that we have all seen so far in our lives. So that was a really cool thing about this job. So what kept me going this entire lockdown was, you know, of course, the first part was a job. A job search was 3 months. And then also, guys, I just want to mention another thing, right? Like this, you know, I don't know if I told you guys, I think I mentioned in the last podcast episode, but I haven't personally spoken to you about it. But I got engaged 2 weeks ago. Is it 2 weeks or 3 weeks now? 3 weeks ago, my bad, right? Three weeks ago, I got engaged. And I'm really happy, guys, really happy. I think this is the happiest that I've been. It's an equal mix. I'm not content, of course, because there's still a long way to go. But I am happy because, it, you know, if you're in a good relationship and it sets your mind at ease and gives you a lot of stability and a lot of drive, I think that's what this relationship has positively, you know, done in my life. And, of course, the girl I'm engaged to is very understanding. I've known her for a long time. And before she became my girlfriend, before she became my fiance, she was my friend. So that's the best part of it. Like, you know, that the basis of this is that we're just such good friends because we can like talk for like hours and, you know, have a really good time with each other. But it was also difficult, guys. And I'm telling you this, I'm just being honest with you guys over here. All right. You know, being in a stable, committed relationship is not exactly easy. Being in an unstable, uncommitted relationship, I think, is a piece of cake. Especially if you have an agreement with the other person and say like, hey, listen, I'm not going to be serious. And the other person says, I'm not going to be serious too. And if you guys are that zen, which I am clearly not, I can't do that, then I think it's great. But you know, in a serious committed relationship, it comes with responsibilities, duties, and it comes with, you know, a lot of, it is a little bit heavier, right? Like I remember when I was getting in this relationship, right? And I was committing to it and I knew that this is going to be a serious one. Like if I wasn't it, it's going to be serious. It can't just be a short-term thing, see where it goes, and then we can drop off if it doesn't go well. It wasn't going to be that. I knew it's going to be serious, all right? And there was a time when I was driving to an open mic, I think, last year. And I said, I should just call her and say, like, listen, I can't be that serious. This is really horrible, right? Like, I have to work extra hard to make it happen. I have to, like, commit myself. And I have to make a lot of sacrifices. And how do I make my comedy career and podcasting career work in such a way that I can take care of you, take care of myself, take care of us as a family, be on our own? And then the only thing is, I actually had the phone in my hand. I was going to dial the number. It's like, no, this is not really the right approach. Because if you see, life is actually, it does have its own responsibility. And with you take the responsibility, you learn how to master it, you learn how to do it, and then you move to the next level. Or else you just stay in level one. See, like all of us, we didn't do it. We don't even have to work as hard as we are working right now, right? We could just sit and relax and watch TV like how we used to when we were kids. But we can't because it doesn't feel right. And that's an important thing. Like it doesn't feel right. So I just thought about the opposite. Imagine the opposite of me just staying stuck in this level, going and doing my open mics multiple times, right? And then slowly progress my comedy career, which I really love, right? But inch by inch, because it takes time to progress certain things because you want it to progress in a very effective and sustainable way. I was either going to go down that road, but I'm just going to take too much of time and not go anywhere like too far, too fast, right? I was just going to take small incremental steps. Or I was just like, I should just sort out my life right now. Like, why do I have to constantly just wait for the universe to favor me one day and just wait for like one stroke of luck and actually consciously make it happen? And also the other thing is, I knew I would feel really bad if I would just let her go and be like, you know what, this is not going to work. I knew that'll fill me with more regret than, you know, working hard and, you know, making sacrifices to make this happen. So I think that is something that I kind of figured out through living through this. I said I should just take this responsibility and see how I can go to the next level, which is what I did. And also I realized, you know, eventually, you know, what happens is when you make this decision, you hear a bunch of other people reinforcing this, right? Not like necessarily family and friends and all that, but just stuff that you read and come across, because this is what you're seeking. You want to seek the answer, like, is this the right thing to take more responsibility and go to the next level, even though it involves more suffering, or just relax, just enjoy your life being on this level and not go to the next. So I think that is the decision that was something that I was seeking and actually found out. You know, I think Jordan Peterson, he put it best. Okay, I don't know if we have a couple of guests. I've mentioned Jordan Peterson on this podcast, but he does mention it. He puts it in the best possible way. He says, you know, life is suffering and you need to accept that. You need to accept that, you know, it does come with a certain amount of responsibility. And he says, like, if you see men, women and children, the people that make men conscious of themselves are women, right? And this is, of course, in the context of heterosexual relationships. If you are of a different orientation, completely feel free to, you know, apply this accordingly in your life. This is not my words. It's again Jordan Peterson's theory. So he says, like, women make men conscious because of themselves. Because if you see, you can't be like, hey, you're just a dude doing whatever you want. No, you got to be a dude who can take care of, a dude who can be depended on, a person who can be a good companion. And so what are the things that make that person a good companion? Is this person a responsible person? Is this person self-driven? Is this person have goals? Does this person have good values? So on and so forth, right? So if you don't have that, you can be single all your life. And if there are people who are single all their life, I think full respect to them, because they can be so much at zen with themselves that they'll be like, I don't need anyone. I don't need to bother anyone. All I need is myself. And if you are that, that's awesome. Right? I could never be that. I was always like a relationship sort of a person, right? And yeah, that's how it is. I think women, they give you the sense that this is your responsibility. They make you aware of where your responsibility is. And I would further say, like what Jordan Peterson says, is that, you know, the thing that makes women conscious of their responsibilities is babies. Because if you see the thing that men are constantly trying to avoid, it's getting married. And if you see the thing that women are kind of dreading and kind of skeptical about, because it's a huge step, it's not exactly their marriage, but it's them having a kid. Because that changes everything. That changes a lot of things for women, and so does marriage change a bunch of things for men, which is why a lot of people stray away from it. But I think that's what it is, and that kind of, in a good way, kept me going, and it's brought me to a much happier place, which I can say safely, because it just put me on track. You said, how to find a job that's, you know, and that can take care of you, then take care of your expenses, take care of someone, and also a job that's fun so you don't get burnt out. And I was very, very keen about, you know, having a job that is not horrible, that is not, you know, completely filled with stuff that I'm not passionate about. Like, I used to work in IT, and the thing with IT is it goes somewhere to people you don't really care about. Whereas work in content, it goes to like regular people, like my friends, like they can consume it, like their friends, they can consume it, like regular people like you and me who are listening to this consumes content, right? And I think that's a much more satisfying thing. Personally, it could be different for you and how you see things, but I think that was one of the happiest things that happened in this lockdown, that I got engaged, and also the fact that I got engaged to someone whom I know. And I was very happy that I kept this within my close circle of friends. Like, she was my friend for long, and that's a really beautiful thing, because, you know, I always bitched about it. I bitched about it in stand up so much, you know, the whole process of arranged marriage. It's just, you know, going after someone who's really well established. They don't care about that person when that person is on the upward climb. It's only when the person has made everything, made all the sacrifices, struggled, you didn't give a shit about that person when that person was so, you know, was hustling hard and lonely and not, you know, getting, you know, any respect from society. You didn't give a shit about that person, right? It's only when they have everything, you'd be like, hey, now I'm your friend and now I found you really attractive. And that's not liking that person for who they are. And if you have done that, then sorry to burst your bubble, but you have just liked them for what they've achieved, not the process of them getting there. And the process is really difficult. And I want to tell you another story of how this process is difficult and how people don't give a shit about you when you're struggling. My sister, this is a true story of what happened. She was doing this exam called CA. CA is extremely difficult, extremely hard to get by. And you had to write this many times, right? I joke about it in stand-up. And said CA is the only exam that's so difficult that regular people, they have examinations. Final examination, exam one, exam two. CAs don't even have exams. They just have attempts. They'll be like, this is my first attempt. This is my second attempt. And that's my final attempt. And that's the attempt I passed. So she was doing one of these between attempts, right? And this guy, this arranged marriage proposal, they came, saw her, they liked her. They said, we really like you. And then this was just when before her results were being announced. And she got the results. She didn't make it through. And she informed them, said, this is what happened. I've not made it through, but I'm going to reappear for this exam in 6 months. And this family said, like, oh, okay. In that case, we might have to pause everything over here because we don't want to get married right now. And they said they don't want to get married to her because she's going to be spending most of her time studying for an exam and sacrifice most of her time, you know, just trying to get through this exam. And they said no to her. And then a couple of months afterwards, she reappears for this exam. She clears it. She does really well. And then they find out. And then they call her and they said, like, you know, we might reconsider it right now if you're willing to reconsider it. So don't be with someone who's just after you just because of what you've achieved. That's not really cool. And I think that's the best part of this entire thing also. Like, you know, I really don't have like everything, though I'm on the way there to some extent. I'm on the journey, right? Like, I've not achieved too much, but like I'm on the way there. And I think my fiance and my girlfriend, who's been my friend for long, she likes me for who I am. And I think that's pretty cool because, you know, all my life I've feared, you know, someone coming with me just for my, just for like what I've achieved. In like just like how arranged marriages happen, but in this case, I think I got a job in June, right? And her parents met my parents in May, when I was just floating by just because of a few freelance things that I was doing before I got this main job. And remember, stand up had closed, and I would always fear, like, you know, people are not going to give their daughter to like a stand up comedian because they're not a regular source of income, even though I was going out and doing shows before the lockdown. But imagine during the lockdown when shows were shut out, where live entertainment was closed. And her family still came. They met my family and we got engaged. I think that's also a pretty cool thing that happened this year. And I think it's just proof of the good people that you let in your life, the good people that you keep around you. And that's also important. If 2020 has taught us anything, it's taught us, like, you know, who's actually there for you, even if you are at home. Like, you may not have the opportunities to go out and meet like a random bunch of people, but who are that close circle of friends who always have your back. And I think it's very few. Like, the number of people who are there are very, very few whom you can count and rely on. But it's still important to have that, because I had friends constantly checking on me. And I have one more thing to say before I leave. The third thing is, there was a period during this entire lockdown, okay, and where I'd completely lost all hope because I'd applied for so many jobs. And finally, I just sat on my couch and just, like, you know, I couldn't do anything. I was too tired of applying, too tired of learning anything new, that love skill. So I just decided to lay on my couch and just sleep, right? And my friend called me up. And this is a friend whom I've not kept too much in touch with, right? Like, I was his friend in college. And we go out, have lunch together almost every day. And after that, like, he went a separate way. And I would call him, of course, once in a while. He would call me once in a while. But he's not like the friend that I'd call every single week. During my final semester of college, we had a project, okay, and this guy was a guy who wouldn't talk too much, and like, so all of his, so the thing is, if you're quiet, automatically people don't particularly become your friend, right? But I've been that quiet guy, and I know how it's like to not have friends. So I sympathize with anyone who feels left out, and I know what it's like to feel out of place, and I do my fucking best to make people not feel out of place, man. I really do, right? So I could feel that this guy's out of place. I'd talk to him, he'd like, you know, we'd make like jokes. And the thing is, quiet people are just like regular people. They're not abnormal. They're not weird. They shouldn't be scared of them. They're just normal, regular people, right? And so this guy, we'd go out, have lunch. And the last semester, there was this project. I knew no one would choose him to be his project partner because all they would do is just choose their friends. So I told him, dude, don't worry. Like, for the last semester, you can be in my project team. And that's the only thing I did, right? And so when they asked for like project partners, the first person I mentioned his name. That's one thing I did. And yeah, he was still a nice guy, very hardworking, very humble. So we'd work together till late, finish our project. Okay, and then we went his way. I went my way. He got a job. When I did stand up, and I lost my source of income, right, in this pandemic. And I was sitting on my couch, not knowing what to do. And he called up. All of a sudden, he just randomly called up. And he said, like, hey, what is happening? How are you? And I said, dude, I'm doing good, man. In that voice, because I was like a little bit, I was just so dejected. I was feeling awful. I said, why do you not sound proper? Because all this time I'll just be making him laugh and all that. But he said, why do you sound so soft? He said, no, I'll increase my volume. Maybe that'll make things better. He said, okay, now I can hear you, but you still don't sound okay. I said, no, dude, I'm okay. Then he said, how's everything? I said, yeah, I'm trying to apply for a job, but you know, so hard. Everything is closed because of the lockdown, all of that. And then he said, all right, all right. Then he said, why don't you try, you know, he played like some, he was telling me about some stupid quiz game. You know, those fantasy league quiz games. They do like fantasy leagues for matches and they organize quizzes, right? And he said, you take part in that. Maybe you can get like some extra lottery money. And he said, I also tried and it worked for me. And I said, hey, shut up, man. I'm not going to do all that. The last thing I want to do in this lockdown before applying for jobs is like go through some stupid sports from, you know, places I don't even care about. Like the Russian rugby team and all that. And he said, like, anyway, man, your voice sounds very soft. Why is it? And I said, no, it's just the volume, man. But I'm okay completely. And he said, okay, okay, cool. And then that was that. And then the next day he said, is this the same number you use on GPay? And I said, yes, but don't do anything. He said, no, please check your GPay. And I checked it the previous day, right after the call. I had missed the notification, but this guy had sent me 5,000 rupees. I didn't ask for it, all right? And I didn't see it the same day. I just saw that it was there. He realized something was wrong. He didn't ask about it. He didn't ask what was wrong. He just sent it to me. And that kind of blew my mind. I was like, oh shit. Because, you know, I would never have asked anyone for money. Okay. I do not ask anyone for money. And I always have some, you know, spare money. And he could have felt that way, right? He could have been like, this guy's obviously staying with his parents. He has some spare money. I don't have to offer him anything. But you never know, guys. The thing is, that 5K came at a time when I was transitioning from one account to another. I actually had to liquidate like an investment account that I had to make. And it was taking some time for that investment to come into my, you know, liquid cash account. And I decided during that time. But it just showed me, you know, like how sometimes when you pay attention to your friends and pay attention to when you're trying to look out for people, you're trying to not just see, ask them questions like, hey, how's it going? And you don't need to wait for them to ask you sometimes. All you need to do is just pay attention to their life. And if they're going through something fucked up, you would 100% know. You would 100% know. And all you need to do is just, I think, give them something before they even ask for it. And don't wait for it to come back. It doesn't matter. Like, I, of course, paid my friend back. But that's because of principle. Like, as soon as I got my job, I said, thanks so much for your gift. Here's your money. But you don't pay it back. Just give it to people because they need money and you never know how much it can actually mean to them. And I think that's the it really fucked me up actually. I was like, oh shit. I've been such a bad friend to like people, but like people have been so good to me. And I think that's all we need to do. We need to keep an eye out for others. And even though this things might get fucked from time to time, like this pandemic has, just keep an eye out, and if someone's going through something fucked up, just be there for them. And that's all you need to do because someone will be there for you as well. And I've seen that in this year. This is proof of that. Okay, so on to 2021. What can we expect, guys? I don't know anything about this pandemic, man. I don't pay too much attention to it. I don't watch the news. Don't listen to podcasts. I can't believe, first of all, there are podcasts dedicated to the coronavirus. Why the fuck would you give it so much importance? And I don't watch any of that. I haven't watched any documentary about it. But it does seem like things may not immediately resort to normal, though I hope they do. And even if it does, well and good, we will adapt to that. But even if it doesn't, I also think we are badass enough to adapt to that at this point. And we'll find a way to adapt. And remember, if everything fails and we feel like too weak, remember our forefathers and our foremothers, if I can call them that, were violent ass people. They would fight and run huge distances and they could endure a lot of pain. And so can all of us. Thank you so much, guys, for supporting me throughout this year in the Right Room podcast. If you watch my comedy videos, if you've come out to watch me do stand-up live, if you've checked out my other work, read my blogs, done anything, right? And put in any of your time in like checking out my stuff, I really, really appreciate it. And I want to thank you. And hopefully 2021, we go on and do bigger things. I was supposed to put out a stand-up video this year. I just didn't feel like it because I was not happy with it. So hopefully next year we get to recording it. And hopefully next year we get to do bigger things. And we make this podcast also awesome. We try and get a bunch of new guests and interesting guests. And we'll keep kicking ass, guys. I'm the same with you. Make sure you keep kicking ass. And even if life messes with you for like, you know, a long period of time, just keep fighting it. Just keep fighting it little by little. And eventually you'll get your big break. And keep an eye out for someone. All right. Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you in the new year.